Hey everyone, welcome into TCO Studios at Winter Park. Mike Wobshaw joined by Tom Pelissero of USA Today. Tom's our friend. He usually joins us at the Combine, but we've roped him into coming into the studio in advance of the Combine.
First time I've ever been invited here, so thanks.
You're welcome.
Finally.
What do you think?
It's nice. Yeah. It's a lot better than the rest of the building.
Yeah, well, we like it here. We do a lot of work here, and we're going to do some work with you right now. We're going to talk about the Vikings. Let's start with the 2016 season. You went to a handful of games. We were talking earlier. You went to the Carolina game and then a bunch of games at U.S. Bank Stadium. So a lot happened for the Vikings in 2016. But first, U.S. Bank Stadium. What did you think of our new building?
No, I think it's fantastic. I really did. And I was skeptical about it, too. When you initially going into it, you see it from the outside. It looked a little bit different seeing it from the highway side than I think I expected. You see it from downtown, though. It's very cool. And then on the inside, I mean, it's as intimate of a venue as I've seen in the NFL, having been to just about, if not all, stadiums at this point, just because of the way that the corners are so tight up on it. It's a big stadium that doesn't feel big. The way that the sun comes in, I had concerns, I'm sure, like a lot of people about, okay, are you going to get weird shadows? Are you going to get strange, you know, some of the lines on the field? You really didn't have that, you know, and then when you got a nice day in late October, early November, and you open up those doors and it feels like an outdoor stadium, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the first regular season game at U.S. Bank Stadium was a big one. It was the Sunday night game against the Packers. I presume that you were at that game. And for the Vikings, they win that game 17-14. They're 2-0 on the season. It was Sam Bradford's first start. At that point in time, the Vikings were rolling.
Bradford played unbelievably in that game. I mean, that's the part that everybody forgets, I think, when they look back upon the season. And you know, a lot of people talk about his completion percentage and then the number of short passes. And some of that stuff's valid. But if you remember that game, he was throwing the football down the field. He got rocked a bunch of times. The protection was not very good, but he kept standing in there, taking the hits, getting up again. I know for a fact that won him some respect within that locker room. I mean, his very first start, to take that kind of pounding, to play at the level he did, on national TV against the division foe. I think that sort of changed the dynamic a little bit. Now, as the season played out, though, too, the way that the Vikings started, some of the things they overcame, even some of those issues like the protection that when they were winning were still there and you could see them, I think that that cast the season in a little bit different light than when you take it in totality. It looks a little bit different.
Well, yeah, and I think we'll get to kind of some things that happened later in the season here in a minute. But sticking with the Sam Bradford theme, you know, you've covered the league for a long time, and to see a quarterback join a new team. No, I'm saying your experience.
All right, I'm just checking, yeah.
Your experience.
All right, that's fine.
To see a quarterback join a new team 8 days in front of the season, and then to play the way he did, that was really remarkable, I think.
It's very unusual. I mean, you're going to be hard-pressed to find a lot of situations where the starting quarterback is traded for on cut-down day and then has all the work that he had to do. Now, he had some familiarity because he had Pat Shurmur here, who he had played with before, but you're still talking about a different scheme, new receivers, figuring out not just the language of the offense, but getting the rhythm and timing and tempo to be able to play at a high level. He kind of came shot out of a can in that Packers game. And, yeah, if you look over the body of work this season, and I know that the wins and losses did not end up being there, and I know that they had to play a certain style because, let's face it, the offensive line was really banged up from the start. They built it last offseason. They were very happy with the depth they had, and then because of retirements and injuries and other things, they ended up playing with some guys who were not, frankly, ready to play yet or shouldn't have been in the lineup in the spots that they were. That's just how football works sometimes. For Bradford to be able to operate within that offense at the level he did, again, taking the totality, everybody's going to have bad plays throughout the course of a season. But, yeah, I think that Bradford had a very solid year. He had a career year in a lot of different regards and showed that he's somebody that perhaps if he has an offseason to learn his receivers and can actually have a starting offensive line together, could be somebody you can win with.
Well, and the big criticism with Bradford during his career has been he gets hurt a lot. And he didn't get hurt this year. He played in every game he was asked to play in. And then he can't rise above inadequate play around him. And he did not play in front of an offensive line that was able to be consistent because of those injuries. So I think he kind of proved those naysayers wrong. We'll see what happens with him in 2017. Mike Zimmer has said that he's earned the right to be the starter. But with the offensive line injuries, it's unbelievable. They just kept happening to this team.
I mean, go back to if you're sitting there in June, July, and you're thinking, all right, who's the starting offensive line? You're going, it's Matt Khalil at left tackle, who played a couple of games and was already hurting, wasn't himself. You're thinking left guard is going to be Alex Boone, who did play the majority of the season. Center is a Joe Berger, John Sullivan competition.
Yeah.
Right guard is probably Mike Harris. And right tackle is either Andre Smith or Phil Loadholt. So, I mean, you go down that list of names, who was left by the end of the season? Who was left by week four? They were challenged in a lot of regards. And that's not an excuse for the way that they played. Everybody in the league is going to have injuries. But in terms of offensive line injuries, Vikings were hit as hard as anybody. And that changed the way that they had to try to play offense.
Yeah. Defensively, what did you like about what the Vikings did in 2016?
Well, I think that the first 5 weeks of the season, and going back to the tail end of the 2015 season, they were playing at as high of a level as anybody maybe this side of Denver. I mean, you look at the string of games where they didn't allow over 20 points or whatever the number was, it was fantastic. I think then, for whatever reason, they hit a little bit of a lull through the season. I think that they had a couple of games that they would really like to go back in time and play better. There were situations late in games. There were, you know, blown coverages and confusion at times. I don't think there's any question that the talent is there. You know, Xavier Rhodes, I think, has to be looked at as one of the huge bright spots through the course of the season. But he's still a young player who's growing, and I think he's going to get paid a ton of money in the offseason. You know, I think you've seen Trey Wayne start to take steps forward. They got a decision to make on Terrence Newman. You got Eric Kendricks, I think, was one of the undersold stories of the year. I mean, that guy showed at a position that, by the way, the Vikings didn't draft him to play. They were not projecting him to be their middle linebacker, but he's shown that he can be a really effective player there. And then Linval Joseph, Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter in year two being one of the top five sack guys in the league. No question, the talent's there. But you'd like to see some of those young players play better. You'd like to see Anthony Barr have more splash plays than he did this season. I think that all those things, when they're examining the scheme and the personnel, the way all the parts fit together, the coaching staff, everybody's got to do better because they should, based on who they've got in-house, who they've got on the field, they should be a better defense than they were over the entirety of the 2016 season.
And isn't that a thing that people maybe don't talk a lot about, is you talk about free agent signings and draft picks, but development of your own players. That's a big part of the offseason. And you mentioned some young players, like Danielle Hunter. They've done a great job with him so far, but now it's the Mackenzie Alexander, Jayron Kearse, maybe another step forward for Trey Waynes. That might be the next step for this defense.
They've spent a ton of resources in the defense through the draft. I mean, they have not gone out and spent big money. I'm trying to think of the last really big money free agent that they signed on defense. I mean, that is a homegrown core. Joseph got some money from him a couple of years ago. That's ended up being a value signing, in my opinion. I mean, tell me a better nose tackle in the NFL. I mean, he's a really good player who can provide pass rush in addition to being able to stop the run. But, you know, the homegrown core with Griffin and Hunter and Kendricks and Smith and Rhodes and I mean, the list goes on. They've spent a lot of first and second round draft picks on these guys. That's how you want to build your defense, ideally. They're set up well. And I think they're really, I remember going back and talking to Mike Zimmer before the playoff game against Green Bay after last season. And he was saying he felt, 2016, the defense was going to be really good, but 2017 was where he thought everybody was going to come into their own. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see that transpire over the offseason. Now, what are the stories that you'll be chasing when it comes to the Vikings in the offseason? Give us a little offseason preview.
Well, I think that one thing that's got to be monitored is Teddy Bridgewater and where he's at from a health perspective. I mean, you knew going in, because this was such a major knee injury, it was not going to be 6-8 months he was back on the field. This was going to be something where they were really not going to have a great idea until coming out in April, May, June here of when Bridgewater can be back. I don't expect him to be ready to be on the active roster in week one. That would really surprise me just because, again, it's a major knee injury. So I think that you're looking at, okay, how do they address the depth at that position? Are you comfortable with the options that you've got in-house, guys, a young player being able to step into that role, or do you have to go out and add yet another quarterback to that room? Adrian Peterson's another huge story, I think, going forward here. Peterson's had a really strange 3 years from 2014 where he really didn't play. 2015 came back, led the NFL in rushing, and then 2016, the injuries that he had from early on in that season. He's due an astronomical number, $18 million next year, but the intention was never for him to make that money. Both sides, the Vikings and his representation, knew that was just a placeholder where we're going to have to come back after the season and figure this out, and we'll see who ends up having the leverage. In this case, you'd have to say the Vikings have some leverage here because Peterson, he's not going to go out and get a 5-year mega deal at this point. He's probably looking at a 1-year contract wherever he would go. So do the Vikings come back and offer him a deep pay cut, a guaranteed money, kind of like what they did with Chad Greenway a couple of times in the past? I could see them doing that. They've been very consistent that they want Adrian Peterson to retire as a Minnesota Viking. But does Peterson want that? Or does he want to say, I want to go someplace else and try to be a role player and try to be part of a different championship team? Yeah. Peterson might do that. I think that that's one of the fascinating things. And then, of course, how do they address the offensive line? I mean, I think if you look at the defense, there's not a ton that you're really looking at that you need to do, right? I mean, Chad Greenway likely moving on. I'm never going to put it 100% with Chad, but likely retiring. So you're figuring out how you're going to replace that. But you've already drafted guys, you know, with Barr and Kendricks that you're thinking are going to come into some of those roles.
Last one here. When the Vikings gather for training camp in 2017 and they put their goals up on the whiteboard, should winning the division be one of those goals?
I think that should always be one of the goals. And I think that, you know, if you rewind, and there's no excuses, okay? Everybody in the league has to deal with injuries and unusual situations. I think that the Vikings had as many of those as anybody in the league through the course of the season. Maybe we didn't even mention Norv Turner resigning when he did at midseason. That really does not happen a whole lot within the league. There were so many unique things that they had to go through. But I think that you also could see a path through which they could have been competing in the division this year. I mean, look at the two Detroit games. You can't tell me that they can't go back and go, if we make one or two more plays, we maybe don't win those games. And now all of a sudden, it's us in the playoffs and not the Lions. So they're not that far off. I mean, I think there's going to be inevitably skepticism because Bradford has not been there before. He's not been into the postseason. Can you win with him? I came away from the season believing that you can, but you still have to have the structure around him. The Vikings need to get back to their identity, which is they need to be a defense-first team. They've got to run the football effectively, supplement in the passing game. I think that that's skewed for a variety of reasons, in part the offensive line injuries where they didn't have a running game for the vast majority of the season. If they can do that, if they can get back to being the type of team Mike Zimmer wants to have, certainly I think that that's within the realm of possibility.
Good stuff from Tom Pelissero. There's an off-season preview from Tom. You can catch more of his work on Twitter and, of course, at USA Today Sports. Tom's going to be all over the place. He'll be at the Combine, I would imagine the Super Bowl owners meeting, so maybe we'll run into him down the road.